Christ is risen.
Amen.
Today's the Sunday of the paralytic, which is always a significant Sunday for me because 16 years ago on this day, I was ordained to the priesthood. Yesterday was the actual calendar date of the anniversary of my ordination, but it was on this Sunday, the Sunday of the paralytic, 16 years ago, that Bishop Basil laid his hands on my head and prayed the ordination prayer over me. And if there's one thing that I've learned in the last 16 years of priestly ministry, it's the importance of the question that Jesus asked in the gospel text this morning to the paralytic. Do you want to be healed? It's an important question for many, many reasons. It's an important question to be asked because ultimately, not everyone wants to be healed. Some people are content to remain in the state in which they are. They may feign that they want to be healed, but they have to look deep and ask the question, do they really want to be healed? It's an important question. It's an important question because if healing is desired, then personal action is required. It's an important question because the paralytic needed to become an active participant in the process of his healing. This question was that first step, the beginning of his involvement in what was to come, in the process of his healing. At first glance, it may be perceived to be a silly question. I mean, after all, here's this paralyzed man for 38 years. Why wouldn't he want to be healed? But indeed, Christ shows his wisdom in asking the question. It pierces through all the external realities that everyone can observe and gets to the heart of the matter. It's a wise question because the paralytic had to exercise his own will, affirming his desire to be healed. And the paralytic needed to participate in the process and cooperate with the grace of God that was going to be bestowed upon him. The paralytic needed to acknowledge that he wanted to be healed. He needed to respond to Christ's next command as well. Rise, take up your pallet and walk. The paralytic needed to respond and do just that. He needed to rise and to walk. Christ's healing power was paired up with the paralytic's response. And in this event, we ultimately see an image, a figure of the Christian life, of Christ's redemptive work in all of our lives. Because in this, we see an image of our own souls trapped in this paralysis of sin. And all of us, just like that paralytic that needed Christ to come and deliver him, all of us need a miraculous intervention, a deliverance from the sins and the paralysis that holds us. And the beautiful thing is that through the Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, we can indeed experience that miracle. We identify with Christ's crucifixion and resurrection through baptism. We are crucified, buried, and raised together with Christ in baptism. We die to our old self, and we are raised to a new life where we are free from the paralysis of sin. Yet at times, we find it difficult to identify with that new life that Christ has given us. And unfortunately, we fall back to an old way of life. We fall back into our old ways and into that paralyzed state of living, if we can call it even living. But we need to recognize that the power of Christ, even in that situation, even when we fall back into our old ways, the power of Christ is just as real in that situation and today as it was in the gospel text that we read about. The power of the risen Lord can reach into our paralyzed state, into whatever is holding us, binding us up, and can raise us up as well. But the same question that Christ asked that paralytic, we need to ask of ourselves. It is ever before us. Do we really, truly want to be healed? We need to think about the question because it's not as obvious an answer as it may seem. Christ wants us to think about it because an affirmative answer implies that we're going to have to take action. It implies that we're going to have to change. If the answer is, yes, I want to be healed, then we too will be called upon to act. We too will need to exercise our will. We'll need to exercise our energy and rise up and walk. And by walk here, for us, it simply means a way of life, to live a life according to Christ's commandments, following after him. If we want to be healed, we need to be willing to change, to rise up, to walk a new course of life. You know, over the last 16 years, I've had numerous opportunities to minister to people. I've had opportunity to speak to people in a variety of contexts in life. And I've had the opportunity to observe that what I'm speaking about is really true. Some people do not really truly want to be healed. They come and they want something else, something that sort of looks like healing, but it's not truly addressing the real matter of the heart. Whether they want me to come alongside them and tell them they're right and validate their opinions, or they want me to come along and fix their problems for them, whatever the case may be, this is not what the priestly ministry is supposed to be. We're supposed to bring the healing ministry of Christ into the person's life. And if the person doesn't want to change, if the person doesn't want to be whole and healed, then ultimately I question what I can really do for the person. If we're not willing to own our own stuff, if we're not willing to embrace the path of repentance and recognize that we too are wrong and we need to change, if we're not willing to recognize that we have to make our efforts instead of looking for someone to rescue us, what can be done? It's always an important question to be asked. Do I want to be healed? Do I want that healing, that wholeness that Christ can provide, that sanity that I can find in following after Christ, that redemptive work in Christ, of Christ in my life, that restorative work of God in my life? Do I want these things, or do I want to just keep living my life my way, doing my thing, following my course of life, following my own understanding, following my own wisdom? If we want to be healed, we have to submit to the power, the authority of God in our life. We have to become a true disciple of Christ. We have to be willing to follow Him. We have to be willing to rise up and walk a new course following after Christ. We must be ready to give up our former ways and to embrace the grace and the life that comes to us through Christ. The spiritual life is always a delicate balance between God's work and our own work. The holy fathers of our faith have spoken of this as a holy synergy, a combined effort of human and the divine at work together. And it's when these come together, when our own efforts meet the grace of God, that progress is truly made. When we take one of those sides of the equation out of the picture, progress is not made. You see, it can never be based sheerly upon our own determination and our willpower. That's not going to get us anywhere. We might make a short apparent progress, what seems to be progress, but we'll find ourselves as trapped as we ever have been in anything. We can never succeed based upon our own heroic efforts, making valiant efforts. You know, we can do that for a time, but it isn't really producing change in us. The success of the spiritual life is wholly and completely dependent upon God's intervention in our life, God's power at work in us. The spiritual life progresses through the grace of God displayed in our lives, the strength of God working in us and through us. But God doesn't program us like a robot. We don't sit on the couch and say, okay, God, I surrender. Do your work in me. And then wait. Because guess what happens? We wait a long time waiting for God to do something in us when God is there, ready, but He's waiting for us to make that effort to rise up and get to work. You see, the spiritual life does depend upon the grace of God, but depending upon that, it also requires our effort, our will. It requires our cooperation and our work in conjunction with His grace. We still exercise our will. We still have to make our effort. It's just submitted to the will of God and supposing the presupposing the reality of God's grace that must work before us, before our efforts can ever get us anywhere. When God's grace is at work together with our efforts, it is then that we progress. Christ is ready and willing to raise us up from whatever paralyzes us. He's ready to set us on a new course of life, to live in the joy of resurrection. But He asks us a simple question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be restored? If you're ready to answer yes, then you also have to be ready to follow through, because there is going to be a follow through. Christ also expects us to use our will, to use our effort to rise up and to walk. Christ will indeed raise us, but we also must rise up. Christ will indeed lead us on a new path. But we must be willing to follow and walk that path, make the effort of walking the path that Christ leads us upon. The grace of God will indeed meet our own will, must meet our own will. The power of God must work in conjunction with our own efforts. We must want to be healed. We must be willing to rise up, to make an effort, to walk a new course and live a new life. See, we are not ultimately stuck as we may suppose. Christ is always ready and willing to free us from whatever holds us, from whatever binds us. So the question ultimately comes down to that question that Christ asked so long ago. Do we want to be free? Do we want to be healed? And if the answer is yes, then let us receive the grace of God and let us rise up and walk in the newness of resurrection life. Christ is risen.